It's mid-morning, shortly after the close of our last episode. As Gus Jansen drives quickly to the nightclub headquarters of J.T. Dougherty's crime syndicate. More of Gus and Kate Beekman in a few moments. First, at the Barclay Mansion, Suzanne's mother is admitted by one of the police guards on duty, goes directly to Suzanne's room.
Mother?
Yes. I want to talk to you, Suzanne.
I was just looking out the window. They're going to bring Bebe home from the veterinarian. Didn't I see Jerry drive you home?
Yes. Which window?
This one. The police sergeant said I don't have to keep the curtain drawn on this window. I have to keep the rest of them closed.
It's too bad you can't let in the sunlight.
Yes.
It's a lovely day outside. But you wouldn't know that.
I can't go out, Mother. I don't dare.
Suzanne, I just talked to Mr. Mason.
Yes, Mother?
He told me why you're afraid.
Of course I'm afraid of Gus.
I was puzzled when your uncle told me you refused to help Mr. Mason.
Mother, listen.
I should have guessed the answer myself. Gus threatened me, didn't he?
Please, Mother.
Didn't he? Before you ran away.
No, he didn't.
Now, don't lie to me, Suzanne. That's why you ran away. You didn't dare come back until you thought I was beyond his reach.
Mother, if you'd only listen to me.
There's no use denying it, dear. I know Gus threatened to harm me if you reveal his identity. You're being a coward, Suzanne.
Mother.
Suzanne, I never thought I'd see the day I was thankful your father isn't here.
Oh.
You've kept your father enshrined in loving memory, Suzanne. And of course, I'm glad. As you grow older, you will learn your father wasn't perfect. No man or woman is. And yet your father, more than most, earned the loving memory of those who knew him. He wasn't a coward. I was a coward. I used to be afraid for you.
For me?
Yes. As every mother fears for her children, I used to be a coward about you. I wanted to smother you in safety. But your father taught me to let you live and grow outside my fear. If I had understood more clearly what your father tried to tell me, you might never have become involved with Gus. If I hadn't stood between you and life, you might have learned to guard yourself from danger. Suzanne, when you have children of your own, you will learn. If you truly love them, you can't take all risks for them. Do you hear me, darling? It's the same for anyone you love. Your children, your husband, your parents.
Me. Mother.
You've no right to keep silent in order to protect me.
But I...
You've no right, Suzanne. You've no right to ruin your own life in a foolish effort to protect me.
Foolish?
Worse than foolish.
You don't know him, Mother. Gus would stop at nothing.
The police will stop him. The house is guarded.
You don't know him, Mother. He'd find a way.
I know Perry Mason.
What?
I know Perry Mason, and so do you. Do you trust Mr. Mason? Do you believe what he says?
Oh, yes, I do. Mother, did Mr. Mason promise you'll be safe?
Why, yes.
Really? Really and truly?
Yes, he did.
Well, if Mr. Mason can promise you'll be safe...
Now, don't answer me now, darling. Think about what we've said.
Yes, I will.
And remember... You've no more right to stand between me and danger I must face than I have to take all risks for you.
You said that Mr. Mason promised you won't be in danger.
Yes, but even if I were...
You said Mr. Mason promised. Now, didn't he?
Well, yes. He said there's no danger. I'll be in my room when you want me. Make up your mind quickly.
Officer Perry Mason.
This is Mrs. Barkley, Miss Street.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Barkley.
May I speak to Mr. Basin?
Well, he's in conference again, but if it's necessary...
Oh, never mind, Miss Street. You can give him the message.
Yes?
I just spoke with Suzanne.
Oh?
She hasn't given me her answer, but I know my daughter. She'll make up her mind more quickly if she's left alone.
Do you think she will make up her mind?
Yes.
To give Mr. Mason Gus's identity?
She's coming back to normal, Miss Street. When I came home, she informed me her dog is being delivered from the veterinarians. I think she's beginning to lose her unreasonable fear of Gus. I suggest you ask Mr. Mason to place himself in readiness to use her information.
Yes, of course. Just a second. Here he is now. Harry, Mrs. Barkley's on the phone.
Yes, Mrs. Barkley.
I spoke with Suzanne, Mr. Mason. You're only in to wait until she thinks over what I told her.
And then she'll talk?
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Good.
I'm afraid I spoke a little harshly to her. But after what you told me, I was justified.
What?
When you told me that she is in danger as long as Gus is free, in spite of the police guarding her, I'd say anything to make her safe. She'll be safe when Gus is behind bars.
Yes.
Then I'll do anything to make her help you find him.
Anything. Mrs. Barkley, you explained you will be in danger after she talks and we go after Gus.
What?
You made her understand you will be in danger, but that you are willing to accept the risk.
Why, yes, of course.
There is a risk.
My danger will be no greater than hers.
No, but you're in no danger as long as she doesn't talk. You will be in danger, as I explained to you, and I cannot guarantee your safety.
I know what I'm doing, Mr. Mason. I know Suzanne must talk so you can apprehend Gus. And Suzanne will be safe. I knew just what to tell her, Mr. Mason. You'll see. Because of what I told her, Suzanne will tell you the truth.
But meanwhile, in the nightclub headquarters of the syndicate, Gus Jansen is speaking quietly over the telephone.
J.T., I've only got a second, because Kate Beekman is on her way to the office. But I want you to know I'm going to get that message to Suzanne Barkley. Well, you never knew it, but Suzanne had a little dog before she ran away. She had it when I used to be friends with her. Yeah, I gave her a present for the dog. I gave Bibi, that's the dog, a special dog collar. It's got a locket on the collar. A locket you can open up, see? Well, the dog's been staying at the vet's, but they're taking her home to Suzanne. And when they do, and when Suzanne looks inside the locket, she'll find a message from me. A message telling her to phone me at our place. Yeah. Our place is a roadhouse called the Horse and Carriage, where I used to take Suzanne for dinner. I gotta hang up, J.T. Oh, hello, Kate.
Hello, Gus. You want to see me?
I always want to see you, Katie.
Oh? I mean for a particular reason.
Well, so do I. I always want to see your beauty.
Really?
You're as lovely as a day in spring.
Oh, so that's it. In the spring, a young man's fancy lightly
turns to thoughts of love. Well, that's undoubtedly true, but this guy's fancy is turning to a charcoal broiled steak.
Oh?
Miss Beekman, I'm going to tell you a secret.
Oh?
I know a little place hidden away on a side street. It's called the Horse and Carriage. The Horse and Carriage serves the best charcoal broiled beef steak you ever put in your mouth.
Tender, you say?
As a maiden's dream.
Oh.
And I was thinking, why don't you and I try it?
Oh, I have to work.
Oh, it's such a wonderful spring day, and it's time for you to have another driving lesson.
Gus, I'm supposed to work.
And those steaks are so tender. Have dinner with me at the Horse and Carriage.
I'm supposed to work.
Miss Beekman, you are hereby given the evening off.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay, Suzanne.
What?
I said, okay, madame. We've got a date with a steak.
Gus Jansen is absolutely confident Suzanne Barkley will read his message. He's confident he can seal Suzanne's lips. As you know, there'll be vitally important developments in the immediate future. So you'll join us tomorrow, won't you?